This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Starting in July of last year, undercover videos of Planned Parenthood officials describing the sale of baby body parts were released by the Center for Medical Progress. The first video showed a Planned Parenthood official discussing, over a lunch of salad and red wine, how abortion procedures are altered to preserve intact baby parts for sale to human organ buyers. The video created a firestorm, as did subsequent videos released and posted on YouTube. People were horrified by the videos and demanded investigations of Planned Parenthood. Abortion supporters counterattacked, claiming the videos were deceptively edited and statements taken out of context. CMP defended itself by releasing raw video and an independent forensic analysis by a cybersecurity company to determine that the videos were accurate. One investigation in Texas had a surprise result. It cleared Planned Parenthood, despite not calling any witnesses, but instead indicted CMP journalists David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt on misdemeanor and felony charges related to the videos. After months of legal wrangling, all charges against the two were dropped. One of the organizations that rose to the defense of the journalists was the Thomas More Society. Its president and chief counsel, Tom Brucka, is today's guest on World Lutheran News Digest.
And now today's Fast Track.
I'm Sarah Golseth with news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Carl Anderson, leader of the Knights of Columbus Fraternal Order and one of the most influential lay Catholics in the Roman Church, has said that abortion outweighs all other issues in the presidential campaign, and Catholics cannot vote for a candidate who supports abortion rights. Abortion and gay marriage have been called non-negotiables that can disqualify a candidate in the view of many leaders, a stance that has effectively favored Republicans over Democrats, who have become more uniformly supportive of abortion rights. After-school Satan programs may soon be offered to certain elementary schools across the country. The Satanic Temple has announced that this coming school year, 2016, will find their organization operating in elementary schools across the nation, where they will be offering their new after-school Satan Club program to students, a Satanist press release says. The Satanic programs are to be offered to schools that host or have hosted Good News Clubs by the Child Evangelism Fellowship Program.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂഥറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. With me today is Mr. Tom Brucka. He is the president of the Thomas More Society, one of the organizations that defended the Center for Medical Progress against somewhat rather scurrilous charges in the state of Texas against them and against the principals involved. This is regarding those undercover videos of Planned Parenthood selling fetal tissue parts. Mr. Brucka, could you tell me about yourself, your organization, and how you got involved in this case?
Well, yes, sir. I'm president and the chief counsel here. We've been in business about 19 years. I started back in 1986 in the pro-life area when I had an antitrust case in the U.S. Supreme Court, and someone came to me in 86 and said, there's this fellow who's been sued under the antitrust laws in Wilmington, Delaware. Turned out to be Joseph Scheidler, who was a national pro-life activist leader. The case brought under the antitrust laws was bizarre, we thought, and it was switched to Chicago. We finally got the charges dismissed 4 years later, 4.5 years. It went up on appeal. It was affirmed, but the Supreme Court took the case, and they'd added racketeering charges. And the Supreme Court reversed the dismissal of the RICO theory, the racketeering theory, and we ended up having to go back to the U.S. Supreme Court twice more. We won the next two times, 8-1 and 8-0, and In the middle of all that, my law partners, after 10 years, said, you know, you better quit the case or quit the law firm. It's just too expensive, and they couldn't pay legal fees, and it kind of took me out, took over my law practice. So we started this nonprofit venture and back in 1997, and we've been busy. It's a growth industry. I mean, we've been busy defending all kinds of pro-life and free speech and prayer vigil folks for all this time. And one of the people who came to us was David DeLeiden.
And the background on that case is that his organization, Center for Medical Progress, had gone underground using hidden video cameras and approached various offices of Planned Parenthood and caught them red-handed trying to sell fetal tissue parts. And they came under intense criticism. They've been called liars. They've been called you name it. And then finally, a Texas attorney general at a Texas DA goes to the grand jury, and instead of indicting Planned Parenthood, they indict the Center for Medical Progress.
Well, Kip, we knew something was fishy about it. It was a shock. The Texas Attorney General and Lieutenant Governor, I should say, had called for an investigation of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast is a huge facility in Houston or its environs. And they were implicated in David's videos as being very, very all too willing to consider selling aborted baby body parts. It's really gruesome to talk about for the highest bidder. And it turned out we were shocked when it was in January they announced that Planned Parenthood had been cleared, and that our client, DeLeiden, and his main helper were indicted with a misdemeanor and a felony charge.
And the idea that Planned Parenthood had been cleared, and yet no witnesses were called to testify against Planned Parenthood.
Well, little by little, the truth came out. It was a trickle at the beginning, but then it became a torrent of facts that showed they were not only embarrassing to Planned Parenthood, but and the DA's office, but downright incriminating. And we intend, although we managed to get the case dismissed, they backed off when we showed them the facts that we'd found out. The two, Planned Parenthood and the DA in charge of the grand jury, were really conspiring together. And I don't mean to overstate it, whatever. It's fully borne out. They admitted they violated Texas law by having a press conference and boasting to the media, and of course it was national news, that they turned around and indicted our clients rather than Planned Parenthood, and they cleared Planned Parenthood, etc. That's not allowed. You can't do that until the defendant, I mean, our clients didn't even know about it. We heard about it in the airport in Washington, D.C. on the way home from the March for Life. That's against the law, but worse than that, they were told that they had unedited video from our client, from the Texas Attorney General, who was conducting his own investigation. And they wanted a copy of it, the DA did, and then Planned Parenthood wanted a copy. But the Attorney General said, no, you can't give the video to anybody. It'll compromise our investigation. Well, what did she do, the DA in charge of the grand jury? She immediately subpoenaed the same video she already had from our client, who, unknowing about anything else, you know, produced it. He complied with the subpoena. So what does that show? That shows that for no valid investigative reason, this prosecutor used the massive power of the grand jury to help Planned Parenthood. That's totally illegal, unethical. And in fact, that video had been shown to the grand jury, presumably. So sending it to Planned Parenthood was a violation of grand jury secrecy, another criminal law violation by the prosecutor herself. You said there was no, they claimed they were cleared, but how many witnesses did they call? Zero. From Planned Parenthood.
Well, I notice I've got an article here that says that the Planned Parenthood attorney, Mr. John Schaefer, actually during a news conference, saying that he had a dialogue with the DA throughout the grand jury proceedings, and that the grand jury focus was going to be shifted to Dalyden. I'm just appalled.
Well, he not only bragged about it, the evidence shows that it was worse than he said. There were 400 pages of emails between the prosecutor who ran that grand jury and the lawyer for Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. They were indeed working together. They had a, quote, plan, unquote. So we told them about all this, and they backed off. We said, we're going to file it in court here unless you back off, and they did back off. They blinked. But it isn't over yet. Well, we're not filing in that proceeding because that proceeding is over. We're going to pursue disciplinary charges with the authorities in Texas, which we have not only every right to do, but we're duty-bound to turn over evidence of such misconduct when we encounter it on the part of a fellow lawyer. And in this case, it's a prosecutor with powers of the state at her disposal.
Well, you anticipated my next question. So certainly the judiciary has its own disciplinary procedures in cases of misconduct. And boy, this certainly seems like it. What could be the outcome of
egregious misconduct? Yeah.
What could be the outcome of this? Could they be disbarred?
They could be, sure. I mean, the penalties range from reprimand to suspension or a disbarment. And, of course, you know, the DA in charge, frankly, has to stand up for re-election, and that's another penalty that lay in the hands of the voters. We're non-political. We're going to pursue the legalities of it, the ethics of it, and let the chips fall where they may.
Mr. Bruck, I think this is speculation on my part, so please feel free to correct me on this. The Center for Medical Progress is based in California. This case was heard in Texas. Obviously, there's a 2,000 miles difference. It's difficult for travel for Mr. Delight and all. When the films first came out, there was quite a stir in the media and in the public. There were claims that the videos had been tampered with and had been edited, but an outside agency had investigated the videos and said, no, they were not. These are accurate. Plus, the entire raw videos themselves are available for view. The speculation I have here, sir, is that when the indictment came down through the grand jury against Mr. Dalyden, I'm wondering if perhaps this was a political ploy to try to cast doubts on the videos, to take them off the headlines and tie up Mr. Dalyden in court so much that he couldn't pursue the video aspect.
Well, I think you're dead on target. I think that the entire affair reeks of political maneuvering and manipulation. And, you know, Planned Parenthood with its $500 million in federal subsidies, not to mention what charges people for services, is just loaded with money and resources. And prestige, my goodness, during the Democratic Convention, there was Cecile Richards sitting in the balcony next to, Mr. Clinton, while his wife was being nominated, et cetera. So they're close to the throne here, and they're using every bit of leverage at their disposal to make Dalyden out to be the bad guy, and this was obviously a key part of that campaign. That's why we're going to pursue this with vigor. And not only in Texas, but you mentioned California. We're being sued under the racketeering law in San Francisco by a whole bunch of Planned Parenthood clinics, including Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast. They're suing Dalyden civilly. So we're going to pursue every remedy we have in that civil case to get the entire truth to come out. And I think there'll be even more dirt that'll come to light.
Well, that was going to lead on to my next question. What does Mr. Dalyden do at this point?
Well, he's extremely busy in continuing his investigation, not undercover, because his cover is, as they say in the spy movies, pretty much blown. But we're finding lots of ramifications of the hidden truths that he uncovered. We're suing the University of Minnesota, which is banned by law from doing research on aborted baby body parts, and yet we found it has been doing that research. The University of Washington doing research. We're finding in New Mexico, University of New Mexico, you know, there's a federal congressional committee, the Select Committee on Infant Lives, looking into these all this evidence, and they've made criminal referrals to the New Mexico authorities to go after the university there for violating New Mexico criminal laws. This is only the beginning. I mean, the reason why undercover journalism has been a staple part of our tradition in America since the muckrakers and even before them is because there's some kind of wrongdoing that's concealed behind veils of secrecy. That's what it took, really, to bring this out, was his undercover journalism.
Well, the Planned Parenthood people are claiming that they've been smeared or exposed, as we might say, on the other side. My understanding of libel law is not only does it have to be shown to be untrue and malicious, but that truth is an absolute defense against libel.
And the truth here is brutally clear. And in all the lawsuits they filed, there are two racketeering cases in San Francisco before the same judge. One by the trade group, the National Abortion Federation, but then the next one by Planned Parenthood nationally and a bunch of the California clinics plus the Texas clinic, as I said. I think in these cases, the truth is certainly going to come out. It's a very much an embarrassing truth for Planned Parenthood. And we were, frankly, surprised. You can never be happy to be sued in a racketeering lawsuit. But on the other hand, you know, they've opened the door now to our finding out as many facts as we can about how they operate.
It seems to me that if the RICO laws would apply anywhere, it would be to the Planned Parenthood side.
Well, if there ever was a racket, it's this selling aborted baby body parts against the law. Clearly outlawed because it was said that, well, you could pay expenses or you could donate. There can be nobody making a profit from this. It was all justified in the name of research. But there's been no progress made with baby body parts. Adult stem cells are proving helpful in research and finding medical solutions to all problems. But I think a lot of university folks, we found out too so far, there are more to be uncovered here, set up research, and they get a lot of federal money, and they maybe don't accomplish much, but they keep, a lot of people employed at good salaries, and it's indeed what we always used to call a racket.
I'd also like to point out, you know, with Planned Parenthood entering into these lawsuits against your clients, they're being paid. Planned Parenthood, one-third of their budget comes from tax dollars. So we the taxpayers. I know. Their annual budget's about $1.5 billion, and about $500 million of that comes directly out of the federal tax dollars.
Yeah, that's right. So we're subsidizing this criminal misbehavior, and I think people are awakening to that. And I know they had a big pushback, and the media is kind of the mainstream media, they call it. I don't know how mainstream they are, but, you know, they're covering up a lot of this. You haven't read much about the Texas dismissal, whereas the indictments back in January were trumpeted from every outpost in America. And it's a slow, steady effort, but, you know, we're not going to stop, and eventually the truth is going to come out, and people are going to realize it. Nothing was doctored about the tapes. We produced the videos to Congress, even with bathroom breaks in them, so it put the lie to this idea that they were heavily edited and distorted. Nobody could distort the people who are caught on tape talking about buying Lamborghinis with their profits and so forth.
I saw that video. I mean, some of the videos just turned my stomach.
Wait. Well, that's the idea, really. I mean, they're awful, and it's very much akin to Nazi Germany, where people said, well, what happened to all those good Germans? And there's the ethic of the averted eye, where you just pretend, kind of, you convince yourself that you don't really know what's going on, and I think we're going to have to come to terms with this very, very soon. What he disclosed is unfortunately all too true. and it is repulsive.
I saw an interesting post today on a social website where someone had posted, well, abortion is legal, and as long as the babies are being aborted, why not get some use out of them scientifically? Someone counterposted and said, you know, what the Germans did to the Jews in Nazi Germany was legal under their system. Maybe they should. So did they?
That's right. And, you know, if you read, there's a book called The Nazi Doctors.
I've read it.
You know, and it's just, it's a horror, but it happened. And, you know, they were doing all kinds of horrible things to concentration camp inmates. And here we are, you know, and we profess such morality and respect for human dignity. And yet we at the same time have this underworld now revealed for all to see. So we're in denial, many people, and it's going to be difficult, but we've got to face up to the truth.
And facing up to the truth with the general public might be difficult because, as you pointed out, the dropping of the charges really has not been covered much in the media. I've seen it in a few websites. I think Breitbart covered it, but I haven't seen a thing on network news about it or a CNN.
Well, we made a commitment that we wouldn't publicize the act. Well, we wouldn't release the motion we were going to file. We actually did show it to the judge, and he turned red, and his steam was coming out of his ears when he read about all these emails. But as I said earlier, once they backed off, that case is over, and we're certainly at liberty, and we're under a duty to report unethical misbehavior and report evidence of crime, and that's what we intend to do. So. Well, maybe people dismissed the what do they say? The dismissals were merely a technicality. Well, that was a face-saving gesture on the part of the DA. But as I say, the truth will be out. There were criminal law violations and grossly, egregiously unethical behavior that it can't be denied. It's in writing. So.
Now we've got the follow-up cases going on in California. This is going to be a very interesting year in many, many ways.
Well, I think so. You know, the Schreider case, that was a racketeering case that got us into this. It took 28 years and less than that to get the Supreme Court to speak. Sometimes it takes a while. I often tell young lawyers, you've got to take a punch in this business. A lot of people, including judges, have personal experiences with abortion. It's an issue that people don't like to talk about. And this body parts, it's even worse. It's like a grave robbing, body snatching kind of thing. Awful. And yet, it may take a while for people to see and be comfortable with coming to grips with the truth. But we're not giving up, and we'll keep at it until that time comes. It may be sooner than later.
Well, we're seeing that with the March for Life, for example. The annual March for Life has been going on every year since 1974. When it first started out, it was just a few dozen older people. Now it's going up to 600,000, I think, was one of the largest marches they had. And if you look at the marchers, the ones in the front, they were young people. That's the thing that has really gotten to me, is that the message has gone down now to the millennials and the younger, that this is wrong. Make your stand. You've got your values. You know what they are. You know what's right. You know what's wrong.
Well, I met Dalyden when he was working with Lila Rose. I first talked to Lila Rose, whose organization is now called Live Action. I spoke to Lila when she was an undergraduate at UCLA, when she did her first sting, they call it, undercover exposure. And of course, David was her research director, and he left her to start his own organization, the Center for Medical Progress, about what, three and a half years ago. And Lila, of course, a college student when I met her, and I think she's probably now all of 26 or 27. And David is just 27 going on 28. So these people had the guts, really, to take these huge risks, and the daring and the courage involved has just been phenomenal, and they're passionate about what they do. They have huge followings, so I agree with you 100%. I think that the younger generation is coming to grips with the truth that some of us older folks took too long to see as clearly as they see it.
I think you're correct, sir. Sometimes I'm older myself, and sometimes I get cynical looking at the younger generation, wondering what's happening. And then I see people like Mr. DeLayden, and I realize that there are fighters out there. There are the young people who not only know what's right and what's wrong, but are willing to do something about it.
Well, are they ever? I stand in awe of them.
I do, too.
And David is not, here he is, sued all over the place, but he's courageous, steadfast, intrepid in the face of adverse publicity, court battles, indictments, and vindication is coming. We've got some of it already, and we mean to keep this up until he's fully vindicated and recognized as a true modern hero.
Well, Mr. Brecker, we're about out of time. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and about the work that you and the Thomas More Society are doing. It's a wonderful thing. God bless you very much.
Well, thank you very much. And it's good to get the truth out to folks, which is what you're doing. And I think the best is yet. I think we're coming to grips with an awful truth. And once we know the truth, we'll be able to act on it.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.